You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Oh my, we've already had church this morning, people. Seriously, we just go home. I'm like ministered to. That was phenomenal. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Love having you and your beautiful bride here this morning. George and Lily, oh my goodness, two of my very favorite people. Thank you for your awesomeness. It is never ending. Talking about awesomeness, how cool are these planners? Oh my goodness, I love the generosity and the heart of our pastors that would want to invest something like this in your hand. Don't be mistaken, church. This is not just a planner. This is not just an administration tool. This is a seed. This is a tool that you can use this year to see your life go from strength to strength. I'm so excited that this is in your hand. Incredible. Talking about incredible, band, phenomenal this morning. We so appreciate you. But I'm good. I do like backing music. It does make me feel a little bit more awesome. Vision Sunday, people. Vision Sunday. All right, out of interest, how many people this is their very first Vision Sunday? Wow. Okay, a huge amount of you. So this is why January is my very favorite time as a church. Like, Christmas is awesome. There's lots of great seasons in the life of our church. But I love January because every year we make a decision, not just to stumble into a new year, but to make some very big statements externally and internally about what our year is going to look like. So for those of us that were here last week, we had Shredder Sunday. I hope you found it as powerful as I did personally. We came and we took some things that were ceilings and things that were holding us back last year, and we made an external declaration to shred them in a shredder, and really just it was symbolic of making a decision that looking forward into 2017, that would not be something that we have to carry with us. I know I felt freer this week, and I think how better to finish off from Shredder Sunday than going into Vision Sunday, because I don't know about you, but when I have all of the stuff removed, when I have all the lies of the enemy called out and I can see clearly, I never dream bigger than when I do, when I can see God and I can see my future clearly. So I am incredibly excited for what God wants to do today. I am a little bit sad though, because you notice I'm riding solo today. My husband is not here. He wanted, I know, boo. But he is actually in Australia. He is back there for his first trip back there in almost 4 years. Can you believe? So he's visiting his nana and his family. Pretty funny. He's actually never been to Australia skinny. So for those of you that know my husband's testimony, he just lost 100 pounds. So he says it's been really weird. Like, he walks past people that grew up with him and like they have no recollection of who he is, which I think is pretty funny. But he just wanted to make sure you knew that he was thinking of you all today. And I want to definitely send him some love and some honor. How incredible that my husband can go away and release me to bring the word of God this morning. I love being underneath his covering. He's an incredible man and I'm so thankful for him. More incredible people I want to bring honor to this morning. That's our senior pastor. Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. Always a privilege, always an honor to preach in this pulpit. The more I do ministry, the more I realize the price of this pulpit. This doesn't just happen. It happens because people had vision, and more than just that, they put seed to vision, which we're going to talk more about today. Okay, we cannot have Vision Sunday without a quick building update. Who wants to see what's been happening this week? All right, I got some pics for you. You'll be glad to know Drew is coming home on Wednesday, and this is good news because me overseeing a building project is not a good thing. But it didn't fall down, we'll lose away, so yay! But here's some pictures. I am not the person to tell you what's happening there. It's a trench. I'm pretty sure they're for the toilets in Kids Church. I probably could have thought of more exciting photos, but hey, Kids Church are going to have toilets, yay! That's exciting. All right, this one. This is, you'll see all the steel, all the framing is going up. You are looking directly... sort of at an auditorium over there. This is our kids' church over here. I'm telling you, if you have not yet, please drive by and poke your head in. This is but 12 to 13 Sundays away. Can you believe that, church? Driving in here today, I was like, oh God, I can't believe that this is the year where we get to walk in what you have set apart for our campus. Another picture, and who knows, this isn't just exciting because it's a big building, but this building represents a reach to our city that we can't have in a small cinema. We have more seats, better facilities. We can be a brighter light in our community. So when you drive by that building over the next week, let's stretch out our hand and declare and believe the prophesy over it about the testimonies that are going to come out of that building. It is so exciting. Oh, literally, I can't be more excited if I try. So building update, we love it. 13 more Sundays, church, and we will be in that incredible building. All right, we ready to get started? Vision Sunday. Okay, so just in case you missed it before, I do want to make sure that you saw on this page of your planner, there is a page that says, My God Vision for 2017. While I preach today, it is not rude at all if you begin to start writing on here. It's always actually good to take notes in church, just so you know. If you're not a note taker, can I encourage you? It actually is a scientific thing. If you listen and write, you are way more likely to retain. And not only that, I know for me personally, I love that I've written notes because I'm a little ADD and I have a very short attention span. So I can be sitting and being rocked by a word, but I can go out, hit Chick-fil-A. Well, not on Sundays because it's closed. You know how that hurts my heart. But and then I forget. Get some incredible truth that I've heard. So I love writing things down because that's a well of wisdom and knowledge that you can go back and draw on at any time. So let's be writers of in church. Let's be people that write it down. But today, this is a different type of thing that I want you to write. I don't want you to write just what you're hearing from me. I want you to write what you're hearing from God this morning. Because we're gonna hopefully have everybody walking out of here today with this filled out. What is your God vision for 2017? Now, before we start this morning, I do want to ask a few questions and just set up a bit of a foundation as we talk about vision. And one of the questions that I think a lot of you might have is this. What is the difference between vision and goal setting? Why is this not called Goal Setting Sunday? Like, what is the difference? Is it just that vision sounds fancier? Why vision? It does sound fancy. I'll give you that. Did you know that we call it Vision Sunday because vision isn't just about what you see, but it's actually about how you see. Wow. And that's actually what today is about. I'm not hoping that a bunch of you walk out of the doors today with a whole bunch of to-do lists for this year or goals. I'm hoping that we walk out of this room today seeing differently, seeing the vision God has laid before us. Vision is so significant. It is the lens through which we interpret our future. So any goals you set for 2017 will actually be made through the lens of what you have for your future. So if you are somebody who is pumped about the future, that sees their future as a good future, and they have faith and they have excitement, their goals will reflect that. They're probably big goals, they're probably exciting goals. But there's some people that for many reasons, often a lot of them valid, when they think about their 2017, they're actually thinking through a filter of disappointment, maybe a little bit of anger that God didn't bring to pass something they felt that he would in 2016. Maybe they're a little insecure that how could God use me? This goal is so audacious, but look at who I am. So maybe because of that lens, maybe your goals for 2017 are more reflective of that vision you have for 2017. Wow. 2017 goals will reflect how you see your future. Vision is shaped by how you see your past, how you see yourself, and how you see who God is. So it is really important this morning that we don't have a bunch of goals, but we have our vision in the right place. This is a cool analogy I thought of vision. I kind of think of vision as you get in a car. If you're going to a new destination, I would just never get in the car and just go, not knowing where I'm going. I would always put the address in the GPS to help get me there. That's kind of like what vision is. We shouldn't just stumble into our 2017 without a destination in mind. And this is what I see. The vision is like the destination, and the goals are just the cool things you see along the way. God is wanting each of us this morning to have in our spiritual GPS our eyes on a destination of what our lives will look like in December of this year. From that place, we can then thoughtfully and prayerfully come up with all the little things that make up the goals. But it is about vision. All right, one more question for you. Does God really want us to have a vision? Like, is it that important for us to have a vision? Like, does the God of the universe, who loves everybody and made all things, does he actually really care if you as an individual have a vision? Who knows the answer is undoubtedly yes. In fact, it's a heck yes, all right? The Bible is full, like literally jam-packed full of scriptures about the significance of a believer having vision. Did you know vision is actually the bridge between the past and the future and our present and our future. Without vision, we're standing still. And who knows, God never called us to stand still, but to advance. As we know, we have a God who has so many things to say about our future. He has plans, he has purpose, he has hope. His desire is that every person in this room, and I mean every person, no matter what your background, no matter what you come into here thinking today, he wants you to flourish and he wants you to prosper. Yeah, yeah. He wants your life to go from strength to strength. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says this, and you might have heard it before, that without a vision, the people perish. What does that mean? People need a vision to see beyond their current circumstance. If you're somebody who feels like they've been stuck, maybe in a bit of a rut in their life, I wonder if that's a vision issue more than anything else. Because I don't know about you, but for me in my life, vision has really given some painful things a purpose. Without vision, I don't know if my pain would have had a purpose. I needed to see beyond my past, beyond my present, and I needed to see the future. Vision ensures that people keep walking through a valley and keep their eyes on the mountaintop. Their circumstance might be valley, but their vision is mountaintop. Vision is intended to make our faith bigger, to renew our strength, engage our hearts, and position us to be a brighter light in this world. Vision is an invaluable fuel to the Christian life. You could do it without it, but I don't know why you'd want to. I love this. Other translations of the Bible, so I just read the one from the NLT, but other translations don't, they say, without a vision, the people perish. That's the one I read. Other translations say, without a revelation, the people perish. So that word vision and revelation kind of are interchanged. Revelation about the future is actually understanding that God has one for you and it's individual to you. So without having a revelation that God is for you and there is an incredible future ahead of you, that's when you perish, when you don't know that you have a God that is for you and has plans for you. So before we put pen to paper this morning and begin to write our visions down, I want to pray that we have a foundation of how we write. I'm not so much interested in what's on there. I'm interested in how you're seeing what you're writing on there. Because you can have the best goals in the world, but if you don't have a revelation that your God is for you and your God has a hope and a plan and a purpose for your life, then I know those goals will be lacking. My message this morning is seed your future. Seed your future. Awesome. Before we get started, I want to pray. I don't know if you can feel it, but I feel a real touch of God here in the house this morning. And that excites me because I know that today just isn't about my ability to deliver a good message, which is a good thing. I know this is about God encountering some hearts this morning. So God, before I even say another word this morning, I just want to bring you glory, Father. God, we enter your house this morning with thanksgiving for all that you are, Father, and all that you want us to be, God. I thank you that you're a graceful God who loves us so much, Lord, that you don't want us to just stay where we're at, God, but you want to take us from strength to strength. God, I just pray for every set of eyes in this room today, God. And I don't mean the physical eyes. I mean the eyes of their heart this morning. God, give them eyes to see this morning. Lord, give them eyes to see the future you have purpose for them, Lord. God, I cancel out any lie of the enemy, Father, that would come to put a different lens over the eyes of their heart, God. God, I pray for freedom to come upon people as they dream big dreams this morning, God, as they have a revelation of how much they are loved by you. God, I pray for every heart in this place today. God, I prophesy testimonies coming out of this morning of lives increasing, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Seed your future. The other name I was going to come up with today was like, let's be farmers. But I'm like, I don't know how that translated. Farmers. Okay, so here's the thing. I think farmers are awesome. I didn't always think farmers were awesome. Let me tell you a little story really quickly. So my little girl, for those that haven't met her before, is called Georgia Grace. Now, it's a cute, she's adorable, thank you. Breeding skills, yes? Okay. Yeah, she is very cute. So her name, Georgia Grace, is really interesting. So I never really thought about that name, but the minute I met Drew, he was always like, we're going to have a little girl and her name's going to be Georgia. I literally didn't get a say in it. Like, he would not budge. Luckily, I did like it. But I had a little bit of a moment where I'm like, what does that even mean? And then I looked it up, and would you know, the name Georgia actually means farmer. I'm like, meh, meh. Like, that is not a cool meaning, especially for a chick. I'm like, no, farmers aren't cute. And I literally was like, oh, how do I deal with this name? Like, farmer, it's not something like valiant or graceful or bringer of life to the people, like farmer. But what was beautiful is God, I had a moment with God when I was prayerfully thinking about my little girl when I was pregnant. If you're pregnant here, can I encourage you? Get a word for your kid. I loved it. When my kid was in my womb, I was already prophesying over her. I already knew that saying her name meant that I was declaring purposes and promises over her life. So I knew that I needed to get on board with this farmer thing. So I did a little bit of a, I had a bit of a farmer appreciation moment. And I really began to think about, okay, what makes farmers cool? And I really felt the Lord give me a picture of the significance of a farmer. What's incredible about them is without them, our lives would look very different. Because of the diligence of a farmer to get up at 4 a.m., and the ability for them to have vision to see what we'll need at Christmas time and the Christmases to come, to know what we'll want on our Thanksgiving table. Because they have a vision to see that, they plant the seed now, which means that we're able to reap in the future. So I was all of a sudden like, hey, that's pretty cool. And I really felt that Georgia is actually incredibly powerful because if she's a farmer, it means that she is somebody that understands the power of seed and the power of harvest. And the more I do this Christian world, the more I see that the kingdom is full of sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. You pick up this Bible, you will see sowing and reaping. So I love that when I call my daughter's name, I'm declaring, Georgia, you are going to be a woman who understands what it is to sow and reap. So farmers, pretty cool, huh? Go and give farmers a hand. They're awesome. They keep America fed. We love them. All right. My first point this morning is see. See like a farmer. As I said before, a farmer has a harvest because at one point he had a vision for a thriving and healthy crop, growing before even a sprout was poking out of the ground. I have this picture, and it's probably not modern day farmers, but I do think of like the farmers that built agriculture in America. I have this image of a farmer standing in a dusty field looking around. And nothing about this field says harvest. It's hot, it's dry. As long as his eye can see, there's nothing there that looks like it's healthy. But at some point, that farmer decided, no, I know that this plot of land can bring about a harvest. I want to read you a scripture from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It says, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." We live by believing and not by seeing. I think it's incredible that we could have an opportunity to see things in our life, not as they are currently, but as their purpose to be. I want to be someone who can be like that corn farmer of old that stood in a field and saw something that was, even though it wasn't. Who knows that that farmer exercised faith, a gift that we all have access to today. We have an ability to stand in our current circumstances, which for many looks dry and dusty and bare, and we can actually see something bigger than what our eyes tell us. We can actually see something with the eyes of our heart that doesn't line up with what the eyes in our head say. As we write our vision this morning, I think it is so important, before we write anything, that we see as a farmer does. That we adopt that position to have the sight of a farmer who is about to plant a new crop and see above the current and bare, dry circumstances that God has a future harvest for you. How sad, like seriously think about it, how sad if that farmer, back before America even knew that maybe corn grew here, how sad would it be if he stood there and went, nah, it's too hard, I can't see it. Imagine if a farmer never had exercised faith enough to put a seed in the ground. Like, think how different our lives would be. Because somebody exercised faith back then, we have a harvest today. What happens if all he had was faith enough to put in a small cactus farm? Like, I personally would be sad. Okay, once I tried fried cactus on a taco. I'm sorry if I offend all the cactus lovers out there. Didn't dig it, I must say. But do I love myself some corn tamales? Yes, I do. So me, personally, I'm very thankful that someone had faith to see a harvest field of corn rather than just a small cactus garden. I wonder if you've already written down some goals for this year. I wonder if your goals are more like a cactus garden, or are they more like a harvest field of juicy, delicious corn that are going to be made into tamales? I wonder. Just like the farmer, as Christians, we have to live above what we can see with our natural eyes and instead see things through our spiritual eyes through the gift of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. That scripture tells us something. Who knows? The Bible is full of promises, and that right there is a promise. It says that if we can have faith like a farmer, we will be able to see the harvest waiting in our future despite the current situation we're in. As we write down our visions today, and I'm laboring on this point because I think it's so important, can we have a farmer filter? You know how there's lots of cool filters on Instagram? I reckon cooler than Hefe and all the cool ones out there would be to have a farmer filter. Can we be the campus? Can we be Christians that see beyond our current circumstances? Can we be like a farmer and see that our seed is going to produce such harvest later on? There's a really cool scripture in the Bible. It's Paul writing a letter to the Ephesus church. There you go. That happens. Okay, it's in Ephesians 1, verse 18. It says this: I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to all he has called, his holy people who are rich and glorious inheritance. Make no mistake, church. God has an incredible future for you.
Yeah.
This morning, I am praying that that scripture isn't just one we read and forget. It's actually a prophecy over each of us this morning. That just like that scripture says, I pray your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those who is called, his holy people who are rich and have glorious inheritance. God has a rich and glorious inheritance for each of us. Anyone who believes in him are heirs to the throne. We are sons and daughters of the Most High King. You have an inheritance waiting for you in 2017. I pray, God, I prophesy, Father, over everybody here, God, that their hearts will be flooded by the light that comes from your word, God, that they will begin to see their current circumstance differently, God. God, I speak to every heart, God, that would look at their current circumstances and see a bare, arid land, God. And I pray, Father, their eyes, Lord, would lift up, Father, like even if they're in a valley, God, they see the mountaintops, God, and where you are purposing to take them this morning. Jeremiah 29:11, I love this one, declares, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, I really feel a touch this morning, so I want to do something a little bit different. If I'm talking and you're like, I hear what you're saying, but I just can't see it. Because of stuff that I don't know anything about, you don't understand how hard it is for me to look forward and smile. If that's you this morning, I'm going to actually ask you to do something brave. I actually want you to stand up. I want to pray over everybody's eyes this morning. If you are somebody who needs breakthrough in your ability to look at the future with a smile and anticipation, I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand up, and we're going to join with you and pray this morning. Because who knows, God doesn't need to wait till the end of a service to move. And I really feel there's people in here this morning that God, who is the ultimate surgeon, wants to do a new thing this morning. So if there's people around you, let's stretch out our hand this morning and let's declare, God, I thank you, Father, you are opening eyes, Father, this morning. God, I thank you that you are flooding light into dark places, Lord. God, I cancel out the lie of the enemy, God, that would come and rob people's joy looking at their future, God. God, I thank you that you're a good Father who has great plans, Lord. God, I just thank you right now, God, you are redeeming back to people that which the enemy has robbed, Father. God, I just declare right now, God, that people are going to begin to dream again, God. Holy Spirit, breathe on hearts right now, God. God, take away, Father, scales off eyes, God. Lord, I pray for ears, Lord, that they would have ears to hear, God, the truths of your word. Lord, I thank you, Father, never the same again. Never the same again, Father. God, this isn't just a nice prayer, God, but this is a stake in the ground this morning that says, I will look forward to the future. Even though I'm in a valley, I will keep my eyes where my help comes from the mountaintops. God, for every heart this morning, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. God has called us to see, church. As we come into Vision Sunday, we're called to see. All right, I've got another 2 points. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, last time I preached, if you remember, around Christmas times, I had some Christmas jokes, and they were pretty awesome. The people were a fan. And I'm glad to tell you, I have some farmer jokes this morning. If you thought the Christmas jokes were good, you're about to be in for a real surprise. These are pretty special. And you will laugh even if they're not, okay? Because I've got the microphone. All right. Why did the Scarecrow win the Nobel Prize? Because he was outstanding in his field. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I know, it's pretty awesome. All right, this is a good one. What day do potatoes hate the most? Friday! Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, and one more, just because I like the 10 a.m. service. What do you call a horse that lives next door? A neighbor. I actually should have kept the drummers up here. I think that could have gone up. All right, point number two. So point number one, we need to see. Point number two, we need to sow. I want to read a scripture over you this morning. It's from Isaiah 28, 23 to 29 from the NLT. It says this. Listen to me. Listen and then pay close attention. If God says that, you probably want to listen and pay close attention. Just saying. Does a farmer always plow and never sow? Is he forever cultivating the soil and never planting? Does he not finally plant his seed? Black cumin, wheat, barley, and emmer wheat, each in its proper way and each in its proper place. The farmer knows just what to do, for God has given him understanding. We know that a farmer didn't just stand in a field and dream about a harvest and then it came to pass. We know that the reason that we have agriculture from the farmers of America is because they didn't just have a dream, they actually had a dream that had some action attached to it. And who knows that that action was the sowing of a seed, the sowing of a seed. The only reason there is ever a harvest in our lives, and I don't just mean agriculture, I mean relationally, financially, spiritually, the only reason that we are ever in harvest is because at one point a seed was sown. Do you know that you and I are the result of a seed? I won't go into that too much, but because a mummy loved a daddy, you are here. That's what I'm saying. A seed was planted. I said that in a much more classy way than Pastor Jürgen would have. I'm sorry, I feel okay. But we are all the result of a seed. Our lives, our very lives, are a harvest of somebody having vision to see something that wasn't as though it was. My prayer today that as we write our visions down, we would see that each of those words that we're writing down aren't just words. They're actually seed for a future harvest. What does a farmer do when he's got a barren field that's producing no income? And I actually want to talk about this. I really felt this is a word for someone this morning. What do you do if you're out there and you've heard this a few times before? What do you do if you're the person who feels like they've sowed seed before but they've never actually seen their harvest? What do you think that farmer does? Do you think he complains about it? Do you think he even prays about it? I don't know if he does. I think what he does is he just goes out and plants some more seed. I think the farmer understands that the harvest is not conditional on him but conditional on the seed. That should give some people some hope this morning. Your harvest has actually nothing to do with you but your seed, because seed doesn't lie. God is no respecter of seed. Did you know that? God actually doesn't care who's planting the seed, just that the seed's planted. I think there's some people in here this morning that have been waiting on God, that have written that vision on the paper so many times before. And I really feel that for some people, that what I'm talking about today is actually a key to unlocking your harvest. That your issue isn't a vision problem or a harvest problem. It's actually a seed sowing problem. You're waiting on God for a husband. You think you're waiting on God for financial breakthrough. I really feel God saying this. You think you're waiting on me? I'm actually waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to plant the seed so I can get on board and bless it. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says this. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Thank you. Generous crop. There you go. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Look at your vision for 2017. What seeds will you be sowing towards those harvests coming to pass? Because if you sow a lot of seed, you can actually guarantee that you're actually going to get a bigger harvest. Every seed, actually almost every seed, has actually like a practical and a spiritual application to it. I want to give you some examples. If one of your visions on your list this year is to have financial breakthrough in an area, like it's great to write it down, but here's some seed that you could actually put to that vision today. Like, could you have better saving disciplines? That's actually a practical seed to see that harvest come about. A spiritual seed might be, have you actually fasted and prayed for your finances? Have you actually picked up the Bible and done like a Bible study on what God says about your finances? Because that to me is how a harvest comes about, because God can get on board with that. So if you're believing, and I believe there's a few of us in here today that are believing for something different in their finances this year, can I encourage you, what seeds are you sowing towards your finances? Can I go there for a minute? Are you tithing? Are you generous? Because it is very hard for God to bless something that isn't sown into the house of God. God can so easily open the floodgates of heaven into somebody who has planted their finances in the house of God. If one of the visions on your card is maybe to break an addiction this morning, I wonder if the spiritual side of it could be just that again, prayer and fasting. But have you actually told somebody what you're going through? Have you actually applied any of the wisdom of the Bible that says to be in relationship? Like that could be a seed you could put to having that harvest come about this year. No matter what the harvest you are believing for in 2017, you can always sow seeds of obedience, of faith, of worship, fasting and prayer. Can I encourage you as we come into our last point this morning, can you sow big in 2017? Can you get ready to reap big? Like, let's not be the church of the cactus garden. Let's be the church of the huge, massive, juicy cornfields. Like, how amazing would that? I know nothing about corn farming, but I do know this. Corn's way cooler than cactuses, so let's do it. Okay, and just remember that scripture we read. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Do you have a seed problem this morning? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to that this morning? And lastly, as we come around, we're going to end this service, just so you know, with actually anointing and praying over each of those visions written down. But it would be remiss of me to talk about seeing and talk about sowing and not talk about the destination of those two things, which is reaping. Did you know that's the kingdom process? You see, you sow, and then you reap. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10 says this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. I'm going to labor on that because I think some people need to be reminded of that this morning. You will always harvest what you plant. It might not be in one season. It might not even be in your generation. But a seed doesn't lie. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from that Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. I know there's some people, we've got some tired sowers in the house today. I know I've been there, even recently. I know when you've been around Christianity for a while and you've walked that journey of seeing, sowing and reaping, sometimes you can kind of feel like the piggy in the middle, stuck between the seeing and the reaping. You feel like you've been doing a lot of sowing but haven't seen your harvest. Can I just encourage us all this morning and really remind you that the word of God doesn't lie? And this is a word for me and I hope it's a word for you this morning. You will always harvest what you plant. My life is a testimony to this process, just so you know. Like, how the heck does this girl from rural Australia end up in San Diego in the most magnificent church in all the world? Like, how does that happen? I promise you it has nothing to do with my ability. It has everything to do with the fact that I'm a seed sower. That's what's so incredible about seed, is that you don't actually know the harvest that's attached on the other side. And what I love is that my seed is actually somebody else's harvest. That's how good God is. He doesn't limit your harvest just to you. He has a harvest in mind for lots of people. Did you know you guys right now are sitting in the harvest of somebody who sowed a seed long before you got here? So Pastor Yogan and Leanne started a church 11 years ago, and they saw South Campus before it was anything, before probably this building was even built. But in their heart, they saw something. But you know, they actually didn't just stop there. They actually sowed into it. As the years went on, they sowed in prayer, they sowed in faithfulness, they sowed in vision, and then they sowed into Drew and I, and then we started preview service, and here we are, standing in the harvest field of some seed that God has brought to pass. But you know what I love about the kingdom? God doesn't just stop here, because even this Sunday right now is a seed that will produce a harvest in years to come. One day, did you know that? We'll be doing Vision Sunday in our new building, and we will have hundreds, maybe thousands of people sitting in our church hearing for the first time that God is for them and God has a plan for them. And just because of the seed we're planting in the soil today. What's significant about seed is that it can't help but reproduce. So think of that field of corn again. Like, I don't know anything about corn. I did a little bit of research. This is one thing I figured out. Don't ask me for anything technical on it. But what's cool about corn is that actually you only need to plant a seed once, and then that stalk of corn, I think it's called like an ear of corn, something, the corn thing, comes up. And after that point, it actually reproduces itself. It actually doesn't need farmer intervention at all. It's actually to do with like the seed that blows and lands somewhere and something happens. But I do know this, is that once a seed is planted from evermore, that corn will go on to reproduce itself again and again. John 12 verse 24 says this, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I love this scripture. What an example of the principle of sowing and reaping. And you know what's incredible about that scripture? That's actually said by Jesus to his disciples in preparation for his death. Did you know he was giving explanation to why he had to die on a cross? So he said, unless a kernel of wheat, unless me, the seed, falls to the ground and dies, it will remain only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. So what he was actually saying is, millions of people will be saved if I go to heaven because of my death and my resurrection. I'm going to plant a seed, and the seed is going to be my life. How incredible is that? Jesus' life is an example of sowing and reaping. Salvation is just that. Jesus sowed so we could reap. South Campus, we're all a bunch of seeds today. In your hand, you have more seed than I possibly have time to tell you about. Like this year, and I love it. I love that our vision doesn't stop with us. Just like the corn, it doesn't just stop with that corn. It goes on and on and on. So underneath our vision, you'll see there's a title that says, My Mission for 2017. And there's three spots there for you to write the names of people. I don't think we can talk about vision and not talk about other people. Because just like we talked about Jesus, a seed reproduces. If you're going to plant some seeds of faith this morning, what's beautiful is that'll reproduce not just in your life, but in the lives of others. Think about those three people. Who are those people that are going to be the beneficiaries of your harvest in 2017? How many people, because you chose to worship, are going to be able to worship beside you? One more scripture for us this morning from John 4, verse 35 to 38. It says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. I really think that's a word for us, South Campus. And it's not 4 months, it's 13 weeks. But do you know we don't have to wait 13 weeks till we're in our new building to believe God for a harvest? All it requires is opening our eyes and looking at the fields. Be less interested in the valley, be way more interested in the mountaintop. So as you write those three names down this morning, I want you to know that they are ripe for harvest. Like God has said it himself in his word. See, sow, and reap. See, sow, and reap. Church, it's not just about seeing your future. It's about seeding your future. Because seed doesn't lie. And we have a God that's so for us, but he can only move when we decide to plant seed this morning. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand to their feet. And we're going to do something incredibly powerful to end our service. We're going to actually pray and believe over every single word written on those vision sheets this morning. We're going to worship, and as that's happening, I'm going to ask, we'll do it either side, in the middle there, where we did Shredder Sunday, right in the middle. We're going to have some of our team there, and they're just going to quickly anoint the planner with oil. Now, why are we doing that? Is it because it's a nice religious activity? No, because there is always significance when we externally declare something that's happening internally. And I believe that as we anoint planners today, what we're actually doing is anointing the process of people being able to see, being able to sow, and be able to see those things on the piece of paper this morning come into harvest. So church, as we do that, as we file out and go either side and have teams lay hands and anoint that page this morning, can I just ask that as a church, we worship differently this morning. We worship with eyes to see our year. We worship with the understanding, like, of God shining light into the seed that we have to sow, and that we worship as people that are expectant of a harvest that we're going to reap in 2017. So let's just do it. We'll spend the next 10 minutes doing that. Let's worship, church.